Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this morning is Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what do you think he will do with these tenants? And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death, and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. Here ends our gospel reading. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, a mark of a prophet is that he gets harassed, persecuted, and killed. While this was not the fate of every prophet, Isaiah, for instance, had kind of a cushy job in the king's court. This was the pattern that most prophets endured. Elijah was hunted down by the king. Queen Jezebel put many of the Lord's prophets to death. Jeremiah was tortured and beaten for speaking truth to power. And as we know from our Gospels, even John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded for speaking out against the king and his unlawful marriage to his brother's wife. In terms of job satisfaction, being a prophet was a pretty tough gig. I can just imagine God's ancient recruiter showing up at a job fair, announcing that the benefits of being hired on as a prophet are prison time, having huge rocks thrown at your head, and maybe, just maybe, you will even lose your head when it is cut off for doing the Lord's work. I'm sure they would draw all sorts of applicants for that one. In our gospel passage for today, we hear of Jesus drawing on the work of a prophet to describe how the prophets and he, the Son of God, were treated by the religious leadership of Israel and Judah. He used the metaphor of a vineyard from the prophet Isaiah that we find in our first lesson for this week, Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah's version, God is speaking of the kingdom of Israel and the people of Judah as the vineyard which he planted and protected. The vineyard was well laid, well cared for, and well cultivated. But instead of yielding good fruit, it yielded wild grapes. So the vineyard owner, God, promised to let it go to weeds, remove the hedge as a protection for it, and let it be overrun. This is an image of how God provided for the people of Israel, delivered them out of slavery and into the promised land, formed a holy covenant with them, which should have inspired holy and faithful devotion, but in return, watched the people turn their hearts to idols, trample on the needs of the poor, the orphaned, and the immigrant, and only worry about getting rich while others suffered. In return, God promised that they would be overrun, just like the vineyard, and in short order, they were in fact conquered by the Babylonians and hauled into exile. Our gospel parable for today is almost exactly the same as Isaiah's image of the vineyard, with a few characters added in. In Jesus' parable, the story tells of the vineyard owner, again, God, planting a vineyard, putting a hedge around it, a wine press in it, and a watchtower over it, and then leaving to live in a foreign country while tenants worked the land for him. This was a pretty common setup back in Jesus' day, with the wealthy, landowning class controlling virtually all of the farm, orchard, and vineyard land, and then having others work it for them. Unlike family farms and ranches in the United States, where ownership and labor largely go together, the ancient world was very stratified along class lines. The poor laborers would often long for the chance to work in a vineyard, compared to other sorts of mortally exhausting work that was available, and would gladly agree to plant and bring in the fruit of the vineyard over other jobs, even though they had to turn over most of the proceeds of their work to somebody else. The tenants in Jesus' parable, though, were not up for such an arrangement. When the owner of the vineyard sent his slaves to collect what he was owed, they beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Then he sent more slaves who were treated just the same by the wicked tenants. Finally, he sent his son, thinking that he would certainly be treated differently because the honor of the tenants depended on treating people like the vineyard owner's son well. However, they thought to themselves in mafia-like fashion, "Let's off this guy so we can steal his inheritance." So they did. After Jesus told the chief priests and Pharisees this parable, he left them with a question. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They dutifully answered him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Even as they said this, the chief priests and the Pharisees knew that Jesus was calling them out. Unlike Isaiah's metaphor of the vineyard, not all of Israel was on trial here. Only the religious leaders and kings and queens and other nobility, who had silenced the messengers of God. Jesus was comparing them, the leaders in Jerusalem and in synagogues throughout Judea, to the wicked tenants who killed the owner's slaves, God's prophets, and would eventually kill the son, the man before them, telling the story. He was warning them that their attempts to control truth, silence dissent, and murder men of integrity just for challenging the status quo would not go unpunished. Though they had their sway in the here and now, when the owner of the vineyard, God, our Creator, returned to the scene, it would not go well for them. An ominous parable, if there ever was one. So, how does this parable speak to us, and what does it mean for us today? Last time I checked, I've never met a Pharisee or a chief priest in Montana, or anywhere else in the United States for that matter. Perhaps I'm not looking hard enough, but the example of these ancient religious leaders challenging Jesus and him challenging them in return seems pretty contextualized to their situation. The prophets were killed long ago. Jesus was crucified and resurrected thousands of years ago. And the chief priests and the Pharisees were soon to lose their power when the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 72 AD. So again, how is God speaking through this passage to us today? Well, when it comes to prophets, that is those speaking truth in the name of God and for righteousness' sake, I'm not sure a whole lot has changed from then to now. I mean, sure, we don't gather around people like the old days and throw rocks at their heads until they die. But many of those who challenge the status quo these days, especially when they speak up for righteous causes, endure harassment, death threats, and even assassinations, or at least attempted assassinations. Many of you know much better than I the price that President John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. paid for advocating that everyone's God-given rights be respected as God intended, regardless of the color of their skin. They were slain for resisting the forces of white supremacy that turned people into the tenants who would rather kill the vineyard owner's messengers and son instead of doing the right thing. More recently, in the wake of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida, students who advocated against mass murder in American high schools received death threats for speaking up. As we are seeing all around us now, good, upstanding, trustworthy officers of the peace have been murdered because they wear the same uniform as police officers who use the force we entrust them with for evil instead of good. Though 21st century America is very different than first century Palestine, the violence perpetuated against messengers of truth is eerily similar. Yet, even though the fates of those who speak up for God's truth in the world are often met with violence and rejection, when the Son of God faced this fate himself, he turned the whole story on its head. In our passage for this week, Jesus went on to say that the Son, the one whom the vineyard owner sent with the hopes that he would be well received, but was instead slain for material gain, would become the cornerstone for the kingdom of God. Jesus is the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Though the leaders he called out in the story would turn around and lead the people in calling for his crucifixion just days later, their rejection of him was not permanent. He would hardly be dead for 3 days and would rise again to not just be a brick in the castle of God's kingdom, but the very cornerstone on which it rested. Though the leaders of Judah thought that they could silence the Son of Man by putting him to death on a cross, they ended up sending him to his resurrection from the dead with a message of truth that they could not control. Since Jesus was brought back to life, his prophetic message of good news for the poor, the downtrodden, the persecuted, the despised, the outcast, lived on with him. He could not be silenced by the leaders who killed him, and just like the violence in our own day and age, it is only tearing us apart. Their failed attempts to kill the message with the messenger only proved how holy and enduring his word is. In fact, this word of truth is so holy and powerful that it not only carries us through this life, but consoles us to the end of time itself. May God help us to stand firm on this cornerstone of our salvation instead of pushing it away. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.